Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today, so let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and I am so happy that you're here with me today, meeting brand new people to you. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe you know them really, really well. So first of all, we're going to be talking to Rebecca Ringquist, and Rebecca's work is just, it's work that speaks to me. I have loved her work for many, many years. She does embroidery, and her embroidery is very organic. It's very organic, it's flowing, and it so much looks like it develops as she's working. And this is just so exciting to me to be able to sort of be able to work freely like that. And so I asked Rebecca if she'd come on and tell us a little bit about her work and the type of embroidery she does and maybe give us some tips. So welcome to the show, Rebecca.
Thanks for having me.
I am so excited to meet you. This is wonderful.
Yeah, it's great to meet you too and be able to talk a little bit this afternoon.
Yeah, so Rebecca, you do a lot of embroidery. That's what I know you for. Did you start doing embroidery as a child?
I didn't. You know, everybody always asked me if I learned how to embroider from my mom or my grandmother, and I didn't. My mom was a weaver when I was a kid, and I knew a little bit about that, but when I went to college, I really thought that I was going to be a photography major, and I was taking a lot of photography classes and painting classes, and then the class that really changed my trajectory was I took a feminist art history class. And was reading a lot about the history of colonial American sampler making. And I was really interested in that history and the way in which samplers were sort of used to teach not only embroidery, but to teach social skills like patience and dedication to your home and perfection. And I was really excited about that history and sort of turning it on its head to make more political work. Mm-hmm. And now I'm still really interested in that history, but more from an aesthetic perspective, thinking about instead of making embroidery that's focused on perfection and neat and tidy stitches, I like to approach embroidery from a more painterly perspective.
I think that's what speaks to me because I'm not a very structured person. Mm-hmm. You know, I like things that... Yeah, I like the flowing and the organic. Let me tell people that they can visit you at drop-cloth.blogspot.com so they can get that in there first. Yep. Tell me the type of embroidery that you do.
Okay, well, I do a lot of different things, and that's all coming out from embroidery. So my embroidered artwork is made with a combination of hand embroidery and machine stitching. Mm-hmm. And in that world, I would describe as being sort of autobiographical, abstract artwork that incorporate a lot of found embroidery, things that I find at thrift stores and flea markets and things like that, and layering my own images and stories over the top using my sewing machine and hand embroidery. And then I also own an embroidery design company, and I make hand-drawn embroidery samplers that other people can stitch.
So you have sort of these two ways that you work then for your business. One, you sell the original art, right?
I do, yep. And you can see more pictures of that on my website, which is RebeccaRinquist.com. There's a link to that on the blog that you already mentioned, too.
Oh, okay, good. So then the samplers are how I first sort of met you online.
Yeah. Okay.
I saw your samplers, and they may have been even in a magazine somewhere. Now that part of your company is called the Drop Cloth Samplers. I love that name. Where'd that name come from?
Well, that name came about at the time I was living in Chicago, and I was teaching a lot of screen printing classes at the School of the Art Institute of Chicago and another art center that I was teaching at. And screen printing is another one of those things that has a history of, like, you know, screen printers like to have everything lined up and perfect. And I didn't screen print that way. I screen printed in kind of a loose, haphazard way that you might expect if you saw my artwork. But my favorite thing about screen printing was always, at the end of the day, the drop cloths that were underneath what we were trying to print on. And those would collect, you know, all these smears of ink and dye and kind of unexpected images that would get collaged together by accident because all these different people were screen printing on the same pieces of fabric. Mm-hmm. And I loved that result. And so that's why I decided to name my sampler business that, in the hopes that other people, as they picked up my samplers to work on their own, would, you know, have their own way of expressing themselves through picking out different colors. And everybody, even though they're working on the same design, everybody approaches their sampler in a little bit of a different way. And some people use really thin threads and go neat and tidy. And other mm-hmm. people approach it in a more messy way.
Now, people can take workshops with you, which I think is really exciting because you teach in the person and you also teach online now. Tell me a little bit about your new online class, because really, Rebecca, the trailer for you is phenomenal. It's over at creativebug.com.
Yeah, I'm so happy to have that trailer. You know, one of the hardest things to do as an artist is to write an art statement that explains who I am and what I'm about. And I love being able to send people that trailer that has a view of my studio and my process. And so I feel like it's sort of a look inside my brain. I'm teaching classes now with Creative Bug, and it's really great to be able to reach a wider audience of people around the world and to be able to send people, even people that take my classes in person, that want that information or sort of a refresher on the information that I include in my classes. It's a great, great to be able to send people there. And I think their videos are really, you know, the cinematography is really high quality. I'm really excited about being a part of that group of artists.
Now, what type of workshops are you doing online? What are the topics?
Well, they're all embroidery workshops, and the first workshop that debuted on Creative Bug last summer is based on my original sampler design. So that's been the most popular of my workshops, I think, on the site. And it's great because that original sampler has 15 different stitches, and the workshop's broken down into 15 segments. So, you know, if you are learning the French knot and you don't get it the first time I showed you, you can watch that segment 1,000 times until you do get it. And it's kind of like having me sitting next to you, showing you how to do that stitch over and over. And I never lose patience. You can watch it over and over, and I don't ever complain.
You never complain, right? That's perfect.
No. There's a transfer workshop and an ornament workshop, and I'm actually going out to Creative Bug to California next week to film a couple more workshops that I can't tell you the details about those, but I can say that there's some more coming soon that I'm excited to do.
More coming soon. Fabulous. Now, are you also sharing in your workshops, whether they're online or in person, how you do your work with the sewing machine, your sort of embroidery type work?
Not so much in the online classes yet. Mm-hmm. There might be some of those in the future, but definitely I'm teaching two workshops this fall. One is at Snow Farm in Western Massachusetts, and one is at Penland Fullercraft in North Carolina, where I've wanted to teach there for so long. I'm really excited to be going there. That's in the Blue Ridge Mountains of North Carolina. It's beautiful. So those are both 1 week long classes, and those will both be more closely related to my artwork, and will include a lot of drawing exercises, both with hand embroidery and machine stitching, and introduce participants to those sort of layering and drawing techniques that I use in my artwork.
Oh, neat. That must be just a fabulous workshop. You have so many days with you to really work the technique.
Yeah, it's really fun to be able to dive in, and it's fun for me, too, to get to know people and really get invested in what they're doing for a week.
Now, tell me a little bit about couching, because you love to couch, and I thought maybe you could share that because, and not laying on the couch, you know, the embroidery couching, because, you know, a lot of people haven't tried that. It's a spectacular look, but they think maybe it's hard. Do you have a tip?
Yeah, I love couching. I love the technique of couching of all the embroidery stitches. I think that's my favorite because it's so three-dimensional. And it's one of those stitches that looks more complicated than it is. So couching is just an embroidery stitch that uses two needles that are each threaded with the same or usually a different color. So usually I have a big tapestry needle that has for example, you could use like a really like a nice yarn or a that sock yarn works really well for this multicolored. And you bring that needle up from underneath your fabric, so the knot's on the back, and then you bring a second needle up, and you're just tacking it down, so you have little tack marks all along your thread, all along the thicker thread with the thinner thread that's holding it down. And you could use thread. You could also use a ribbon. You could tack. I had a student once who made a beautiful piece of fabric that she covered with wire that was hand couched down, and then the cloth had this really amazing malleable texture because it was essentially she had built this armature into the fabric. So, and you could completely cover that bottom thread with the top thread, and then you'd have this really great raised kind of caterpillar line on your fabric.
And do you always mix your threads? I mean, do you use all different kinds of threads when you're doing a piece?
I do like to use all different kinds of thread. I really like DMC thread because it's fade-proof and wash-proof, so it doesn't bleed out. And I do a lot of layering in my artwork using water-soluble transfer materials so that I have to be able to get my work wet. So I really like DMC for that. But I use a combination of machine stitching, machine thread, and six-strand floss. I'm really into pearl cotton. I love this 5/8 pearl cotton. It has a nice seam. And sometimes I do use other things, hand-dyed threads and ribbons and some silk threads. I'm a thread hoarder, and I have a lot of thread boxes and boxes. I just moved to a new studio space a couple of weeks ago, and some of my threads are still in the process of being unpacked. They're hard to keep organized.
Oh, yeah, I know. The threads just, they take over if you let them in the box. You know, you have to keep them tidy in there, right?
Yeah, Rebecca, go ahead.
I was going to say that we're short on time. We're at the end. This has just been so exciting to meet you.
Well, it's been really fun to talk to you, too. Thanks for having me. I can't wait to listen to the rest of the show today.
Yes, it's going to be exciting. Everybody can visit Rebecca at Rebecca Ringquist, RingQuist.com. This is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. We're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we are going to be talking to Maureen Cracknell. And then after that, we have Tula Pink. We'll be right back.
Ready for a new project? Choose from hundreds of free patterns in the Projects and Ideas section of our website, allpeoplequilt.com.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Keltner, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making a pillowcase and making a difference. It's easy. Make and donate pillowcases in your local community. Use your favorite pattern or choose from one of the free patterns at allpeoplequilt.com. Whether you sew pillowcases with a group or by yourself, you can help someone less fortunate. You could donate them to a women's shelter, boys or girls club, homeless shelter, veterans home, or any other organization you know of in need. Once you donate the pillowcases, log on to allpeoplequilt.com. Click on the box in the upper right-hand corner for the 1 million pillowcase challenge and enter the number of pillowcases you created to our national tally. We know quilting changes everything, and we're out to show the world just how much quilters care. Please join the American Patchwork and Quilting 1 Million Pillowcase Challenge. We're counting on you.
Welcome to the Spring 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. We've got a great lineup for you today. Entering with the Spin Twirl by Me and My Sister Designs brings a playful and fun vibe to the runway. Oh, Hello Luscious by Basic Gray. You looking good, girl. Up next, Reunion by Sweetwater offers a fresh take on navy by pairing it with gray and happy shades of green, yellow, and red. Look who's coming now. It's the Berenstain Bears, a childhood favorite. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Quilting tips and instructions for web-exclusive projects free every week, delivered to your inbox.
Sign up today for your free weekly e-newsletter at allpeoplequilt.com.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. Now I have Maureen Cracknell from Maureen Cracknell Handmade blog extraordinaire. Maureen has done so many interesting things. She's constantly making fabulous quilts and sharing them on her site. And I just thought it would be really wonderful to have her come on and talk a little bit about this passion of quilting that she has and what she does with it in her everyday work. So Maureen, thank you for being on the show.
Hi, Pat. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited.
Yes. So tell me, how did you learn to quilt? Because you're primarily quilting now, like, you know, obsessively. So how did you learn?
Well, for me, it's been a progression. I had no idea how to quilt prior to blogging. I actually was a big knitter when I started my blog, and it was a few months after that I started sewing. And I started with just many small projects over about a year and a half time, sharing pretty regularly on my blog. And the more I sewed, the more comfortable I got with the idea of doing a larger project like a quilt. And it was about a year and a half ago, maybe a little bit longer than that, that I made my first quilt. And I realized that it's, you know, just to relax and be brave and have fun with it. And that's really what I've done. I'm not much of a pattern follower. So that was another thing that kind of was a original setback of mine. But I really realized that that doesn't matter either. I mean, if you have your own ideas for quilting, you just have to go for it and give it a shot. And I have, and I just love it.
Oh, so this is really fascinating. So you actually started with a knitting blog, and then did you still knit?
I knit occasionally. I knit with a passion, like I sew with a passion now.
Right.
And my husband thought, you know, for our 5-year wedding anniversary, that I love knitting so much that I would probably love sewing. So he surprised me with a sewing machine.
Oh,
and
wow.
It sat in our bedroom on the floor for about 3 years.
Oh no!
While I was busy clicking away on the needles. And then I was online. Actually, we finally got a family computer, which I was very late in doing that compared to most people. And I was online looking for yarn, and I discovered all these wonderful, gorgeous designer fabrics that I knew nothing about, only having access to, like, you know, the not even a brick and mortar store, but just like the big box kind of fabric stores.
Right.
But
right.
I found these online shops that I was just blown away by the fabric, and I had to get some, and I had to start sewing, and so I did, and now it's all I do every single day.
I think a lot of us, actually, it's the fabric that really draws us in and gets us going with quilt making. At least for me, it's like, you know, it's all about the fabric. I like to play with
for
the fabric.
For me, that's what, I am such a fan of fabric and fabric designers, and I just fall in love with the fabric, and I get it, and then I, you know, and I'm a big one at wanting to keep the fabric collections together, too. I don't know what that is, but I just, I fall in love with collections, and I have a hard time breaking them up, and then I'll do a scrappy quilt and mix a bunch of, you know, all the scraps left over from those quilts together. But yeah, I'm just such a fabric lover, and if you come over to my house, you'll see that right away.
So, Maureen, you sort of, you know, obviously now we know that you really just jumped in this with all your passion, but you did this as a business. I mean, you sort of got that bug and then went for it as a business, because you were on some design teams for Riley Blake Fabric, for Art Gallery Fabric. You are partnered with Janome Sewing Machines. You have a lot of sponsors that for your business. So tell me, what made you look at this as a business opportunity?
Well, I think that I just, you know, living in a small town, I don't have a lot of access to people who have the same interest as me. So when I started blogging and I found this community, and I just loved sharing as regularly as I could, the online fabric shops, you know, I would get approached here and there for sponsorship. And then I was invited to do the Riley Blake design team. This is my second year doing that. And I just realized that it could be, you know, it could be something that I was able to do as a business. You know, I loved it so much, and for a while I thought, there's no way. I can't love what I do for work this much, you know. But then I was just having so much fun with it, and everybody's so supportive, and they really are rooting for you to be able to make it a business. I think that's what, you know, a lot of our dreams are, is if, you know, somehow we could turn the passion we have for this craft into a business, you know. Everybody sort of supports each other in that. And
right.
And that's what I found. And, I mean, I'm not selling patterns or any of those things yet. But I sell a lot of the things that I make, both for the design teams, and then I have an Etsy shop where I sell a lot of smaller things. I make, you know, I work with a lot of wool blend felt when I sew.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually came from knitting, because when I would knit, I would often felt what I was knitting. I'd knit with wool, and then I would felt it.
Yeah.
And so I love sewing with felt. And that's primarily what my Etsy shop is for. And then the blogging, you know, having such wonderful sponsors willing to support my blog, and you know, having all these great readers that support my blog, it's just been a dream come true. I could have never imagined, you know, that I would be here 3 years after starting to sew. But you know,
there
I feel like
are.
I'm really just, yeah, and I feel like I'm just beginning, too. So it's all very exciting for me.
Now, your site is maureencracknellhandmade.blogspot.com. And on there, people can find your style of work. They can see you have a tab at the top called Project Ideas and Tutorials. Is there one of those that most people are looking at? I mean, I know when I wrote you, I was like really psyched up about your quilt with the typewriters, because I have the typewriter fabric and want to make that quilt. That's a pretty new tutorial.
It is.
What do people sort of, what are they downloading the most or looking at the most?
My Quilt As You Go tutorial, which is actually that quilt that you just mentioned, the stitch typography quilt that I did for Janome recently, is
right.
made using that method. And, you know, I have learned the style, you know, right after, probably around the time I was making my second or third quilt. And for me, you know, I had a smaller machine then with very small harp space. It worked really well for me to be able to grow a quilt into a larger quilt without having to wrestle with it so much. And now that's my favorite style of quilting, and it's definitely the most popular tutorial being, you know, pinned or asked about or commented on my blog. So I actually, today I'm sharing a new Quilt As You Go project for an ABC quilt that I just made for my brother. Yeah, and that's been, I've had a great response from that. And it's really encouraging for me to keep making quilts in this style, because I enjoy it so much, and it means a lot when other people are responding, you know, so well to the project.
One of the unique things you do with your Quilt As You Go is that you're quilting squares. And then you're sewing your squares, but then you put another backing on that. You actually have a backing in the things you're quilting, and then you put an additional final backing over it. Is that right?
The quilt blocks are layered onto the batting. And I think the number one question I get about that is, you know, folks are concerned about the batting getting caught down maybe into the feed dog area or the bobbin area. But that's never happened for me. And I actually, from working with felt so much, I'll get quite a bit of, like, lint buildup down there from the felt work, but not from the batting. I haven't had a problem. And I use, a natural batting, you know, and don't use synthetic batting. And maybe that's part of the reason why that works. But, no, it's just the quilt block layered onto the batting. And then once all those blocks are quilted and pieced together, the backing is added in a similar way that you would finish, you know, a regular quilt.
Okay.
It's basted, the batting side is basted to the, you know, the wrong side of the backing. And then it's all joined together by sewing right along each side of the seams that were created when you sewed your quilt blocks together. So on the front, you have this kind of dense quilting. It works really well if you are adding applique, like the typewriters, or if you're going to add letters like I did on the alphabet quilt. Because then on the back side of the quilt, you don't see the reverse letter, like the stitching that you had to do around the letter. And and so you add the letter prior to adding the backing, and then the backing will just look like, you know, stitched squares as large as your squares were made, your quilt block squares were made. So I love it. I mean, you know, I'm excited to do more projects in this style for sure.
Yeah, it's great, I think, for people who have smaller machines or their skills are really new. It gives you a great confidence. It's a fabulous technique.
And I've met a lot of people through the sewing community who suffer from joint pain or, you know, autoimmune disease or arthritis. And it is hard. You know, you wouldn't think it's such hard work sometimes to quilt and to hold up that heavy. But it is for some people. And this is a way to do it where you're not spending a lot of time wrestling that large piece. So I love it.
It's great. It's great. You know, Maureen, I wanted to talk to you about your drawing, then your sewing and drawing, but we're not going to have enough time to get into that in detail. If you could just tell me one quick sentence, sort of this next sort of level of thing you're doing. You're taking your drawings and you're sort of sewing them.
Yeah, I'm using black thread to stitch out freehand drawings onto fabric.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm loving it. I'm really excited about getting more into this. And people are really interested in trying it. I'm just trying to figure out the best way to go about showing people. I might have to try to figure out a video.
Right. And you have it on your website so they can come see what we're talking about. So, Maureen, this has been great. It has been fabulous meeting you and seeing your work. And I wish you so much success.
Thank you, Pat. It was great talking to you.
This is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. We'll be right back.
Fresh, simple and fun projects and ideas. Check out the current issue of Quilts and More magazine at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Make the most of your sewing machine by watching Machine Minute videos brought to you by Baby Lock. Learn about popular topics like tension troubles, stitch length, needles, buttonholes, zipper basics, and more. Watch these videos at allpeoplequilt.com/videos.
Find a quilt shop near you that carries the latest issues of Quilt Sampler and Quilts and More magazines. Go to allpeoplequilt.com and click on Find a Shop.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. This is a very exciting half of the show because I get to talk to Tula Pink again. She's been on our show before, and I asked her to come back because she has a brand new book called Tula Pink City Sampler, 100 Modern Quilt Blocks. She is also going to be a featured artist in the October 2013 issue of American Patchwork and Quilting magazine, which will be on sale August 6th of this year, 2013. So this has been really great to have her, you know, say she can come on and tell us a little bit about what's going on in the life of Tula. So welcome, Tula. How are you?
Good. Thank you. How are you?
It's good. I haven't seen you for what, like 2 weeks? You know?
I know. It's been like a whole 11 days or something.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about the book, because it is a great book. It's getting a lot of just wonderful, you know, support on the internet. People are doing a lot of things with it. But tell me the basis behind it.
Well, the idea for the book actually sprang from, which most of my ideas come from, just something I want to do and can't find. So I just make it myself. This book was, I've been in love with sampler quilts. I mean, there's just so much going on in a sampler quilt where all the blocks are different, and they tell these stories, and I've always loved that idea of it, the idea of a sampler quilt. And so when I started looking for one to make, and now I have to preface this by saying I'm essentially a very lazy quilter. I don't like to work too hard, but I like it to look more impressive than it was to make. So, so everything I found was beautiful, but a lot of templates, a lot of different techniques. And I'm a pretty much a cut and stitch kind of girl. So I decided to start making blocks that were, you know, you just cut it and you sew it, you cut it and you sew it. And then as I was making it, I was kind of, at the time, sort of unfolding my own story at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, and then I started thinking about it in terms of a storytelling quilt and, you know, really even with my fabrics, I design it, but I'm just the beginning of the process. Someone has to, you know, pick up the fabrics, love the fabrics, and then make something out of them for the full project to be realized. So I'm just the beginning of the project. And so I tried to approach this book the way I approach designing fabric, which is I'm just the beginning of the process. So an important part of the book was that we could, that the maker of the quilt, is as much a part of the process as I am writing the patterns, that I'm just a facilitator. It's really about the person that makes it. It's about their story, and what they do with it is what gives it meaning and makes it valuable.
So doing that, you put in some interesting features to your book that I don't see very often. Yes, you have some places for people to write in the book.
Yeah, we left typically the back flap of the book is where you see my shining smile and my bio and all this information about me. And so I was really adamant and working with the publisher about leaving that space for the person who buys the book. It's your book too. It's not just mine.
Mm-hmm.
And so we left that back flap. We left a place where the person who buys the book and makes the quilt or makes the block can put their own photo and write their own biography. 'Cause that's a part of quilting. You know, I sit here in my little studio all by myself and all of us do, most of us designers, we sit in our studios by ourselves working on this, that, or the other thing. And there's a lot of ownership that happens. And when you take a step back and think about the big picture, it's really not about me. It's about every single other person that makes it. And so that became a really important part of the book. So I didn't want to name all the blocks. I left spaces where people can name their blocks. You know, maybe this is the first day of kindergarten block, or, you know, there's, you know, people can give them their own meanings. I mean, you know, it's just patchwork.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning is given to it. It's not inherited. So it was really important part of, for me, that the person who makes the book is as much a part of the process of the book as I was. And so I'm also having, as I sign books, when I go do events and I sign people's books, I'm also having them sign mine.
Oh, how fun.
Yeah, so I have about 300 signatures in my book so far. I'm not going to be able to read it by the time I'm done, but it's important for me that, you know, quilting is a community event. So it's important to me that this book was a part of the community. It's not just mine. I don't own it. I just started the ball rolling. So
yeah, that's such a great way of looking at it, because I think most of us like to see what people do with what we design, and you just sort of solidified why that is.
And I think we all think it. I just wrote it down and published it.
it's excellent. It's excellent. Let's go a little deeper just into the blocks themselves, because you chose to, like you said, you like to make things that look a little more complicated than they really are to make. And so you went and called these modern blocks, and a lot of them are very rectangle and square based. How did you, you know, why did you sort of decide on that name for them?
Well, the original name was Tulipane City Sampler, and it was just, really as simple as, you know, the book title has to have my name in it, and because it does. And
it does.
And then the city sampler was sort of the alliteration. And I had this idea of doing the setting instructions so that there was one quilt that looked sort of like high-rise buildings.
Right.
And they were all quilted with that in mind. And we knew that the photography was going to be pretty industrial. One of the things that I work on with my photographer all the time is I said, I don't want to see a lot of quilts on beds. We know that's where they go.
Right.
We don't need to take pictures of it. So, we did a lot of really interesting sort of more conceptual photography that was sort of, you know, it, and the whole idea is that, you know, modern schmodern, it's, you know, you can call a four patch modern if you want to. Mm-hmm. Even though it's one of the most traditional blocks ever. So right. there's so much crossover, that the context is modern, is really more what that modern is about. It's, you know, it's created today for today's sewer. And so as much as many of the blocks are incredibly traditional, that's kind of the area that I live in, is this sort of in-between space. Mm-hmm. Traditional blocks are what brought me to quilting. And then that pushed through my own personal filter comes out looking modern, right, when really its roots are very traditional.
Well, and your blocks are really fabulous because they, you group them. So you did like crosses, uh-huh, rectangles, striped, mm-hmm, squares, haikus, mm-hmm, couple others. And I'm just looking, yeah, at the ones that are called haiku. And I uh-huh, like how you sort of did shading and different things with your squares and rectangles that,
right,
take them to sort of a different place. How big, yeah, are these blocks?
They're all 6 inches. Okay. All the blocks finish 6 inches, unfinished, mm-hmm, 6.5.
Right, right.
And, you know, especially the haiku blocks are, and I call them that, that's just my term. It's not technical. Mm-hmm. You don't have to go look it up or anything. but I did categorize the blocks by shape. Mm-hmm. And it's really, you know, I like to get into sort of one mode and then get into a rhythm of it. So that's why I put the blocks together by shape. You know, if I'm doing triangles, I get in triangle mode and I just keep doing triangles and I get a rhythm.
Right.
And so the book is very much set up the way I like to sew, and hopefully other people like to sew that way as well. But the haiku blocks themselves are more just compositions. They're sort of fabric conversations. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a bit of this here, a bit of that there. They're more sort of spatial compositions rather than here's a perfectly symmetrical, even block.
Right, right. And, you know, they're really, to me, it's like I'd love to see them multiplied. You know, it's like some of them are so, mm-hmm, interesting. Well, when you connect them, what are they going to make? You know, they're going to make something, yeah, really interesting if you set them side by side. Now, also, mm-hmm, in your book, Tula, that you chose, you have like a 2-page format for each block. Uh-huh. And one is the, you know, the block made up in fabric. But the other one, you, mm-hmm, you drew the block.
Right.
And like painted the fabric in. Why did you choose to do it like that?
Well, we needed block diagrams, so exploded block diagrams that say, mm-hmm, you sew this to here and then you sew this piece to this piece. You know, there has to be some sort of, I feel like there's a fine line between too much information and not enough. Sometimes, mm-hmm, over-explaining things can make it just as difficult as if it was under-explained. Mm-hmm. And so we had this, even though the block construction is fairly simple on all the blocks, we needed to have some sort of a diagram that shows you how to put it together. And so I had this bright idea I was like, oh, I'll sketch them. I'll illustrate them. It'll be great fun. so 100 illustrations later, I was thinking, yeah, that was less of a good idea.
Yeah.
I think it was worth it in the end because, I mean, really, truly, you know, it comes down to what do I bring to the table that's quintessentially me, and that is my drawing. That's what I do. That's my love, my passion, aside from quilting itself, is drawing, you know, and that's where the fabric designs come from and all of that. So I really wanted this book to be not just a quilt book with a whole bunch of diagrams in it that was fairly dry. I wanted it to have sort of a whimsical artistic quality.
Mm-hmm.
And doing those drawings was a way for me to get that out of it. And we also had it so that the background of all the pages is on the actual grid paper that I draw all my fabrics and everything on. So it feels like if you walked into my studio, all the things in this book, you would see piles all over my desk. So it's very much me in a book.
Yeah. Oh, neat. Yeah. So now we have to all go look at this graph paper in here. It's like tiny, tiny graph paper. So there's a whole, you know, group of people, I don't know, hundreds, thousands, millions, doing your sew along on,
yeah,
the internet. Sarah, yeah, Lawson at Sew Sweetness is hosting it. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah.
What's going on?
And really, they really came up with that independently. which was awesome. When I started talking about the fact that I was coming out with a sampler book, I've worked quite a bit with actually all three of the people in charge of that, which is Emily Herrick of Crazy Old Ladies, Pattern Company, Julie Herman of Jaybird Quilts, and Sarah Lawson of SoSweetness.com. All three of them have worked with my fabric for a while now, and so I have a lot of connection with them, so I tend to give them little heads-ups on what's coming up. And when I said sampler book, they all freaked out and, and said, we're going to do a sew-along. And I was like, great, that's less work for me. Have fun with that. but, you know, and all three of them are great designers themselves, so I was really flattered that they wanted to put so much time and effort into something that I had designed.
Yeah, that's always nice to see other designers love something and want to make it sort of for themselves. You know, it's a great thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's super, super flattering, and, you know, when talented people like what you do and, you know, all people like what you do, it's pretty amazing. I mean, because, you know, this is when you can turn something that you love into, you know, a business like this that you can support yourself off of and then have other people respond to it. It's kind of an amazing, overwhelming thing.
Well, you're going to be busy looking at all the blocks, I think.
Well, already, there's a few people out there that have actually already finished the quilt, and the book only came out like 3.5 weeks ago. So,
oh, my goodness.
I feel like those people need a prize or something.
And you actually, in the book, before we take the break here, the book has some layouts. None of them use all 100 blocks, do they?
Most of them do, yeah.
Oh, they do. Oh, okay, okay.
Uh-huh.
Then my
counting. Yeah, I think there's five different layout scenarios.
Okay.
And really, these can be put together in so many different ways, you know, and but I think out of the five, three or four of them use all 100 blocks. Some of the smaller ones, like the lap size, doesn't.
All right. I don't know what I was thinking when I was looking at it. I had a brain melt. That's what it was. Brain melt. Oh, it was all my fault.
It happens to the best of us.
And the city one is just fantastic. And is that really done in grays or is the photograph grayed?
No, it's really done in grays. I wanted to show one version of the quilt void of the color so that people could really break it down. You know, for those people who don't like a full tilt boogie 70s disco of color like I do.
Yeah.
You know, they could find a way in. They can have access to the blocks without.
We're going to take a little break, Tula. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Boost your sewing skills from start to finish with daily tips from the editors of American Patchwork and Quilting. Visit tips.allpeoplequilt.com for inspiration.
We're back at the Fall 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. It's a great show, folks. Don't forget to mind your P's and Q's with Applejack, an alphabet-themed collection by Tim and Beck. Next, we're taking a journey to a whimsical land filled with cute critters, flowers, and sweet confections with Cherry on Top by Keiki. Hallelujah! The muted reds, navies, and creams of Old Glory Gatherings by Primitive Gatherings brings a nostalgic feel to the runway. And now, something for the men in your life. Trails End combines the beauty of fall leaves and wildlife. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Here's a special offer just for radio listeners. Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for less than half the cost on the newsstand. You won't miss an issue that's packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, complete materials lists for all projects, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today online, and you'll also get a free downloadable pattern. Check it out. Go to allpeoplequilt.com.
Follow American Patchwork and Quilting on Pinterest to find ideas for bags, baby projects, pillowcases, storage and organization, and more. Visit Pinterest.com/APQ Magazine to join the fun.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. Tula Pink is here. We were just talking about her new book called 100 Modern Tula Pink City Sampler, 100 Modern Quilt Blocks. Are they doing a Flickr folder, Tula, about, you know, out on Flickr?
Yeah, we have a couple. A couple of people have started their own, but...
Okay.
Sorry, I'm asking the person in charge of that. I don't really know. I don't know off the top of my head what it's called or where it's at.
Oh, that's okay.
There has been a place where people have been uploading their blocks, and then we take them from Flickr and other places and put them up on our Facebook page. Everybody can see them there as well. We try to spread the information because we know, like, we're on so many different social media platforms, but not everybody is. So we try to make sure that no matter where you go, you can get the information.
Right. That's what I was just curious. So people are going to want to see, like, the different options are just incredible.
Have a hashtag on Twitter and Instagram. Okay. That's just hashtag Tula100.
Great.
If you search that hashtag, you get, a lot of people have put some blocks up, a couple finished quilts already, which is insane to me because it took me like a month to make mine. But so you can get that. You can see what other people are doing there as well.
Perfect. So I thought that we would talk a little bit about what your studio area is like and what it was like to have American Patchwork and Quilting magazine's editors come out to visit you. Did they turn your house upside down?
No, they were actually very respectful, which is nice. I was a nervous wreck about that because my studio is like my sanctuary. Nobody comes in here. Nobody comes near it. You know, it's a no fly zone. So, yeah. You know, and you spend so much, I spend every day in here. And so, you know, you stop seeing it after a while. And I had to sort of reevaluate and be like, wait, what's happening? What does this look like? I should clean that, you know, it was pretty nerve wracking, but, once they got here, it was pretty awesome. So, and they did a really beautiful job on all the photos and everything.
They don't even leave a scrap of paper in your house, do they?
They don't. It was pretty impressive. I mean, I think if the vacuum cleaner was out, they probably would have vacuumed too.
Yeah.
It looked exactly the way as when it started. You know, they'd move all this equipment in and then they'd take it all out and it's like they were never here.
Yeah. So were they there like 2 days to film or to take photos?
They came and sort of like scoped out the light and everything the first day and then came back and did a full day of shooting the next day. And I live pretty rurally, so I had to paint my mailbox pink so they could find me.
I put a quilt on my front porch when they were looking for my house.
Yeah, well, you can't see my house from the road. The only marker is a mailbox. It was because my house is about, I don't know, a quarter mile back from the road. So
yeah.
You can't really see it. So I just painted my mailbox fluorescent pink.
That's it. So are there like, do you have wildlife? I mean, for me, I live in the city, so wildlife is like cows. Do you have wildlife?
We have a pretty sort of a seasonal rotation. It's a working cattle farm, so it's all bulls and steers. Mm-hmm. And but we have, you know, heron and cardinals and all kinds of birds and squirrels and less cute things as well.
Yeah, I have those too, those less cute animals.
Snapping turtles. We have a large population of snapping turtles.
Oh.
Yeah.
Now, is your studio, do you have multiple spaces in your home? Is like your whole home your laboratory? You know, because you do say you have like a one area that's kind of yours. But do you spread out all over?
The studio kind of, well, there's three rooms that really make the studio. Mm-hmm. And one of them, they're not allowed to photograph. That's where we store all the booth pieces and furniture that we've used over the years.
Yeah.
So we have a big storage area for all that. But then my actual studio is we just keep knocking down walls because I keep running out of space. So we have sort of one large room for the studio, and then there's a room directly next door that's an office for my brother who works with me. He does, you know, who makes sure all the internet stuff's up to date and everybody knows what we're doing all the time. So
now, do you store your quilts any particular way?
Yes, on my person when I sleep, mostly. My quilts very much get used. I think when they're not in, they spend about, quilts for a new fabric liner for a book, they spend about a year to a year and a half traveling for different, you know, trade shows, and then they go to different stores and places. And then when, by the time they get back to me, they're usually used. They're used on beds. Mm-hmm. All my quilts I make to be used. So they're pretty much out and about all the time.
And you make mostly pieces that are big enough to use versus a wall hanging.
Yeah.
You know, you don't make, like, I make a lot of small wall hangings, you know, those kind of little projects.
I don't do a lot of small pieces. Most of my quilts are bed size because I use designing fabrics and writing patterns as an excuse to redecorate every few months. So I just assess what I need in a certain room, and then, mm-hmm. you know, so if I'm working on the room that has a queen size bed in it, that year you'll see a lot of queen size quilts coming
right.
out.
And, I need to start working like that.
Yeah.
What is your desk like? You know, did they photograph your desk? Are we going to be able to see it?
Yeah, they did. They Ooh. Photographed anything. There was no stone left unturned. I have four kind of major desk areas. I have one that's pretty much all computer work. It has my printer, my scanner, my computer. Mm. And then I have one that's pretty much dedicated to drawing, one that's dedicated to cutting, and one that's dedicated to sewing. And they're kind of all in a loop so that I can draw, compute, cut, sew, and then I'm right back to drawing again.
So you've got like the work square versus triangle.
Yeah, it's my work square. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, they're different portions of the room, but mm-hmm. it's a very efficient setup mm-hmm. that took me a few years to perfect.
It takes a while, doesn't it? Once you start doing things. Yeah. I'm always changing, but I've said it for a while lately. Yeah. You start doing something and then you're like, this isn't working.
Right. And it's important to me that it's fluid, that it makes sense, that it feels comfortable. Mm-hmm. Cause I'm 6 feet tall. So all of my tables are higher than normal.
Mm-hmm.
So that they're all at the right height for me. So I don't get carpal tunnel or like a hunchback or something.
Mm-hmm.
So very worried about those two things. I watch a lot of Disney movies.
Yeah.
But I spend about 16 hours a day in here. So it's important that it all is very fluid for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a toe stubbing issue. So I have to make sure that there isn't stuff on the floor because I very rarely look down. So, you know, so I don't hurt myself.
Mm-hmm. Do you have like a sitting area? Is your room large enough, or do you even want a sitting area? Do you like sit and, I don't know, look at books there or read or?
There probably could be a sitting area, but no, I don't have one. No one ever comes in here but me. It is perfectly mm-hmm. set up for one human.
Yeah.
And everyone, when people do come in, they end up just kind of like awkwardly standing against the wall.
Right. And you're like,
because
are you done?
It's very much set up. That's... My whole house is that way. It's kind of very much set up for one person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my living room has the chair I need in it. I'm very practical that way.
Right.
And also very much telling people that they're not allowed to stay that long, I think.
Yes. No extra bedroom, you know.
Well, I have a couple extra bedrooms that I've turned into closets and other things that don't require people to stay over.
Yeah. My house has no extra bedroom because it's got all my storage, business storage, because I have a very little house. So there's no room.
Well, my mom
lives next door.
Yeah. My mom lives next door, which is about a half mile away. And she has lots of guest rooms. So if people want to stay, they can go stay with her.
There you go. It's perfect. That's perfect. Now, your fabric lines. I know with Free Spirit, some of the designers have multiple types of fabric. Are your fabric lines right now are all 100% cotton, or, you know, like quilting cotton, or have you branched out to do some other fibers?
I've done a few rounds of voiles and a few rounds of laminate, and have come back to cottons. I mean, I'm a quilter through and through, pretty much to the core. If I can't quilt with it, generally I'm not that interested. So I don't make a lot of clothes. I don't make a lot of bags. I make them sometimes, but only under duress. I love to quilt. That's my main passion. So I have requested to pull back a lot of those things and just focus on the cottons for now. Because it's all I end up using anyway. I still have all my laminates and voiles sort of on bolts. And I do love making voile quilts. They're delicious. But pretty much cotton's my main function. It's really what I love, and it's kind of where I'd like to stay. So,
I'm just curious from my personal, what is your current, like, favorite color combo? Do you have like a two or three color combo that you're like, or even just one color that you're sort of obsessed with at the moment?
No, I'm sort of an equal opportunity color obsessor. I'm a big rainbow person. I love a rainbow. I like to cover all my bases. My fabric lines tend to be very, very colorful because I know that when I come out with a new fabric collection, that's basically all I'm going to be sewing with for the next 5-6 months. So I need to make sure I have everything I need in that one collection without getting bored. So I tend to really run down the gamut, like the whole spectrum of color. For me personally, aqua is a neutral. It's like a good pair of blue jeans. It goes with everything. you know, it looks great with a black shirt. It looks great with a white shirt. You know, you can wear a lot of colors with it. It's just like the best neutral. For me personally, it looks great with every color. I tend to be sort of like a rainbow obsessor.
Well, Tula, this has been so much fun. Thank you for coming back on and sharing about all your new things.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Everybody can visit Tula Pink at tulapink.com. And this is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. You can visit me at patsloan.com. You can visit the magazine at allpeoplequilt.com. And come back next week for an all-new show. We'll see you then.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques.